Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire, being joined by my mutual host, Mr. Ronald Mann. We have a tremendous guest in-house with us today. Mr. Nigel Davison from the UK, a tremendous man in his walk, but even more exceptional on the mats, the path in sports, and to overcome the obstacles that he has in life is truly tremendous. You know, Ron, when you look at the path of Nigel, what thoughts come to your mind?
Well, and that's I met Nigel here just recently within the last year, and he's such a strong and positive, outgoing person that it outshines any form of physical mobility limitation that he has. So the man, you know, he was born with this, and he's overcome any preconceived limitations and made himself whole again.
That's tremendous. You know, without further ado, I'd like to bring on the one and only Nigel Semperness Davidson. Nigel, how's it going, brother? We're doing pretty good. You know, we're having to do a comparative patch to make this work, as you're in the UK right now, we're in the United States, and sometimes international calling doesn't work like it's supposed to. But we made it happen one way or another. You know, Nigel, when you look at life and you look for the obstacles that you've had to overcome, do you have any thoughts that take you back to the beginning that, you know, life was better for you before the incident or the accident? You know, I'm an amputee myself, so the way I look at life is my life didn't begin until I had lost my limb. How does Nigel Davidson look at that?
Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit there.
I said, I apologize. I said, I look at my life and the obstacles that I've been through as I'm an amputee myself. I said,
yeah.
I realized that my life didn't begin until I had lost my limb. How does Nigel Davidson look at that aspect?
Excuse me. I'm congenital amputee, so obviously mine was from birth. So I've really never known any different. So I've just, you know, just carried on. For me, it's just normal. So, jiu-jitsu certainly helped me as an adult from the earlier days. But growing up, it was tough in times. But you know, it was for children. Go through the normal school stuff, bullying and all the rest of it. But you know, I enjoy every day and.
Take me back to 2008 when you jumped into the karate school. What was the aspects, the admirations of the young man that walked into that karate school?
I knew the instructor of the karate school because he teaches my two elder boys karate. So, and he was setting up like an MMA class slash jiu-jitsu class. And he said, oh, come and have a go. And I was like, well, yeah, I could do. And I did do karate some years before, and it didn't really work out. And this is going back in the days when the artificial legs were made of, like, metal and steel and all the rest of it, and they just weren't very nice. So people didn't really appreciate being kicked with a lump of steel. So it was kind of gave that up. But as for the MMA, I thought, actually, this may work, and it may be a better fun. And I went in there, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the striking and all the rest of it. But the more jiu-jitsu I done, I found it more enjoyable. It's just like chess. You know, you can really get your head into it, and just more technical. So that's what I sort of do it now.
Yes. In 2009, you became a part of the Gracie family and Jiu-Jitsu Academy. What did that moment mean? And was it the beginning of a new man? Was it the rewriting of a chapter for you, Nigel?
Yeah, I think it probably was. It was fun. I was the karate instructor was a pupil at the Roger Gracie Academy in Buckinghamshire, in Oxford, in England. And he said, I'll come along to, you know, where he gets trained. And so I came along, and, you know, straight away it was, and the classes were quite small back then, because, you know, so jiu-jitsu was still in its infancy then. And it was, I was kind of accepted straight away, which was quite nice. And Kev Cable, you know, our professor, he was, you know, really sort of happy to see me there, and really happy to sort of help on the mat. And the first 6 months, I trained with my leg on, but it just wasn't becoming very good. It was limiting me a lot. So Kev suggested that I turn the leg off and roll without the leg. So that's what I've done ever since.
Yeah, and you've been tremendous at it ever since. You know, on the show with us today is my mutual host, Mr. Ronald Mann, a gentleman that brought you to the program and to my attention. I'm going to toss the mic over to Ronald and let him ask you a few questions.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Nigel, it's good to talk to you again, my friend. It's been a little bit of time since we've seen each other. Nigel?
Oh, go ahead.
Nigel, you there?
Hey, Ronald, how are you doing?
Nigel, do we have good reception right now?
Yeah, I can just about hear you.
Okay. So I'm going to jump right into it then. So you say it was a congenital defect. What was the issue during the birth that brought you with, you said you have a defect to your hand as well as your leg, so maybe somebody out in the audience can associate with this and kind of start feeling and seeing what did Nigel have to go through. So what was it that caused the misformation birth?
My mom has never really given me a definitive answer. My mother was just told that it was just... they explained it like a secretary writing a letter to 1,000 times, and then she'll make one mistake, you know, sort of once. And it was that kind of thing. But even really now, I still don't know 100% what caused it. There were mentions of amniotic band. And that, of course, because it is generally, it's my left side, obviously, with the amputation of my left leg and the deformation and loss of fingers on the left hand. But my right hand, I have a couple of shorter fingers, so in my mind, I don't think it is the amniotic band.
Okay, so you grew up, and that's one of the hot topics here that Don and I talk about with a lot of our guests. You know, you're either born with this, or you have some kind of incident where you're brought into this world immediately. And, you know, I had my accident and lost my leg in a motorcycle accident. You were born with this. So growing up, this is one thing I want to touch on so our audience can hear. At what point did you start noticing that you were different, that you had different limitations, different abilities, different ideas, different sight?
Yeah, limbs. So I think probably from the age of 5 or 6.
Okay, and did that have a positive or a negative effect on your growing up? Did it make you stronger? Did you suffer? How did that go with the school, with the other children, with your family?
I was generally a happy child, although I hated school. I didn't enjoy school at all. It was just, for me, it was a place where I was just bullied. Secondary school, especially, so kind of like high school. In America, those days were pretty dark and not very nice, really, for me. I think in the earlier days, I think it was maybe quite low, but I think as I got older, I kind of realised even sort of into my 20s, probably making me stronger. Realised that now, so.
And how old were you when you turned to karate in 2008? How old were you when you started karate in 2008?
I was 34.
Okay.
Oh,
so you were 30
days. Yeah, 2008 was 34, yeah.
Yes. Started a little late. Did that affect your growth, or was that more of a cerebral, because you were older then and you had more of an idea instead of just a physical talent?
Was in the whole scheme of things. I don't know, it just felt kind of the right thing to do. I saw it as a positive thing. If nothing else, for confidence. Because I was very, even probably sort of, even then when I started, I wouldn't wear the silly things, like I wouldn't wear shorts in the summer. Because I was scared of people looking at me. Probably only recently, it's probably in the last probably sort of like 6 years, something like that. I've actually really just tried wearing shorts in the summertime because I'm worried of other people's thoughts.
Right, right. Don, and that's something that I haven't been able to talk to you about. You know, I only see you wearing pants, and you know, you shoot, you're on the ground, you're on your knees, you're running around. Is that something that that's affected you when you became an amputee as well? How does this go with all of us?
Well, you know, honestly, with me, it was, you know, I don't know. It's that's a hard question to ask. You don't put me on the spot of my own show.
Already.
Yeah, but, you know, the best way I can surmise where I'm at in life, and I've said this 1,000 times, and it's probably not going to answer your question, but I'll articulate it the best way I know. You know, my life didn't begin until I lost my limb. You know, I do get on the ground. I do climb the cages with my prosthesis on, but I find my prosthesis to be more of a hindrance than an accessibility for me. Does that make sense?
It
yeah.
certainly does to me.
Yeah,
you know, that's one thing I wanted to touch on with you, Nigel. You ditched your prosthetic after 6 months of training in jiu-jitsu. What led you to that thought process?
I just thought it was like, almost like dragging a piece of equipment around with me. Almost like that's like you're carrying your shopping. You know, you're trying to do jiu-jitsu carrying your shopping. It's just never going to work. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It just feels like I'm just trying to carry something around. It didn't feel part of me. So even trying to do things like passing people's guards, it was hard because I couldn't bend the foot. People were just locked in the foot, and then it was just like, it's just hopeless. The stand-up, it was fine, but as soon as it goes to the ground, it was useless. And I could move so much quicker without it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I look at warriors like you, Ronald, Professor El Surley, and Jess Munter, and many, And, you know, it leaves a warm feeling in my heart to realize that this aspect of this sport truly has more defined warriors than any other aspect I've ever been a part of or seen. You know, what was it that Roger Gracie and Kev instilled in you that gave you the belief to continue on? What was the intent that they inspired in the heart of Nigel Davidson?
I think it's just the fact that, you know, it's just a belief in me that I could, it's the first time I thought I could actually, oh, I could make a difference, I could do something that I really enjoy. And as far as I knew, there was kind of no one else really doing it with a disability. Although there is another guy in IGA with an artificial leg, a guy called Andre Camaro. He trains at HQ in London. And Kev told me about him, and I've spoken to Andre a few times. So that's, and I think it's just a general sort of like the help and support. You can just feel like you're in part of a family. And it was quite nice. So that, I think that's what helped.
You know, Ronald brought up a very relevant point. You know, some of us are born with certain aspects, and some of us, like me and Ronald, further in life, we lose a limb or an aspect happens that defines us. You know, how much of the sport has truly allowed Nigel Davidson to grow as a man, to grow as a warrior, and to grow as a father?
Oh, I think it helps me loads. I can never put a figure to it or statistic to that, but it certainly helps me massively amounts. I don't know, where I'd kind of be, even in my mentally in my mind, if I wasn't into this. If I have a bad day at work, or anything bad going on, wherever, be at home or work or whatever, I always find training kind of forget about everything else, and you can kind of release that. So I think it's helped me massively.
Most definitely. You know, I'll tell you what, Ronald was one of the scariest men alive to me in the para aspect, and well, in any aspect in that matter. And then I watched a few videos of you. And Ronald, I got to tell you, I think Nigel gives you a run for your money, brother.
You know, I watched Nigel fight,
and
he's definitely an animal on the mat. You know, he's earned his brown belt for a reason, and that definitely represents UK para fighters and his academy very well.
Thank you, Ronald.
Hey, Nigel, I want to jump back into karate versus jiu-jitsu. You know, you started off in karate, and did you ever have any tournament fights? Did you ever fight in May or a karate tournament? Did you ever compete in any tournaments in stand-up, like MMA or karate, anything like that?
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Okay.
I've done MMA literally for like about 6 months, and just thought the jiu-jitsu was just the one for me rather than MMA. I don't like my face too much to be punched, so I thought I'd rather choke people instead.
Yes, yes. So when you started jiu-jitsu with the Gracies, you knew that was your home. That was the place for you to be.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it definitely is. It always will be, I think.
And when you went to that academy, were there other people with disabilities, with physical limitations, or were you the first one that came in? Well, in the academy yourself, what I'm seeing is American Chair Jiu-Jitsu, we are now starting to make a huge impact, but a lot of the coaches and instructors don't know how yet to coach somebody with a physical limitation. So how was that when you came into your academy the first time? Were you accepted right away? Did they did they understand right away some of the norms, some of the tricks and the trade that we have, that we've developed through our own experience, or was it something that you had to work on together?
I think with the knowledge that when I first started with Kev, the knowledge that he has from Roger and from Mauricio, he coached me very well. My coach is Bernie David, who's black belt under Kev. I trained with David right from the start, and David coaches me a lot as well. I think because he knew me well as a friend before, I think that made it easier. He knew what I can and can't do. And all the time, even now, we're finding new things, and we're realizing, like, oh, I can do this, like, really well, and there's other things I can't.
Yes,
you know, it was easy for them to
sort of
see my path.
Yes, and that's where I'm going next with this. When I first came to Yamasaki Academy, you know, I was focused on what I couldn't do, you know, form my jiu-jitsu around my body. And at one point, professor stopped me and told me, you know, everything in jiu-jitsu is adaptable. The moves that we're seeing today, you know, with new jiu-jitsu, the revolution is still based on jiu-jitsu when it was founded, and through judo when it was founded, through grappling. When you look at, say, somebody who has just one arm, how would they do a Kimura? Some people say they can't, but I don't believe that. The professor guided me to understand.
I think anything is possible.
What's that?
I think most moves are possible for most disabilities, but I think there will be some moves that not every disability can do. But I think you can work your way around a lot of things. I can only do a triangle one way. I can go away, which would be physically impossible because I haven't got the leg there to do it. But
yes.
I can triangle one way, just not the other.
And that's the beautiful aspect of jiu-jitsu compared to a stand-up sport, where I've done Muay Thai, I've done Taekwondo, MMA. When I came to jiu-jitsu, you know, we take off all our prosthetics, we take off the chairs, we get down, and we don't have any adaptive devices. It's just our body. You talked about how freeing and liberating it was. That was the same experience I had. Can you go into that and talk to the listeners out there and tell them a little bit more about, like, what that experience was for you when you started jiu-jitsu?
Sorry, I missed some of that while I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, no problem. The liberating aspect of jiu-jitsu for me is I don't need to wear my prosthetic. It's actually a hindrance for me. We don't need a running leg. We don't need an adaptive kayak. We don't need these special tools. You know, we use our bodies to adapt around jiu-jitsu. How was that liberating for you? How did that release you almost into a new freedom? Back Don, so he can jump back in with us. You said 2009, you were a white belt. You entered your first tournament as a parafighter, but that didn't seem to go so well. Would you like to explain that to us? Let us know what happened here.
The first competition, it was a fairly small competition. told me he'll be okay. And then when I stepped on the mat, I said to the table staff and the ref, I had a fish on egg. And they're like, oh, hey, you're okay to buy? And they kind of sent me back and made me think to myself, should I be buying here? You know. And it kind of like threw me back a little bit. And also I lost both my bites. And I think then it was kind of almost another sort of the nail in the coffin to wear my leg on the mat. It was just like, I can't move quick enough. I'm just dragging this lump of metal around. And generally a bad day, but I watched my buddy David and another friend of mine, Mr. Train, Stuart. They had a good day. And I just enjoyed it in the end, but in my fights, I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't a good experience. It was my first competition. But nothing to do with necessarily the organizer, but just the way I was spoken to by on the mats, you know, maybe thought they were certainly fighting with an afterthrow.
You know, Nigel,
I
have a quick question. You know, we look at things differently in life, and I look at my life as I'm a photographer, I'm a journalist, I'm so many aspects of the sport, and I'm also a practitioner. How would you say that the accessibility to para-athletics has allowed you to grow and prosper? I've watched footage of you. I've looked at pictures of you. The heart, the determination, the passion that you have for the mat is truly profound. you know, when you get that rare moment and you get that deep thought, it's just you, the mat. What does Nigel Davidson see and feel, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
What do I see, what do you mean?
Yeah, mate.
This is what goes on to the what, into a competition?
No, just that moment when you're deep in thought. Nobody's around, it's just you, the mat, and your, you know, your thoughts. What goes on through your mind and heart?
I think about how I can improve myself, how, you know, mentally, not just on the mat, but, you know, even just sort of like family things, thinking, oh, maybe I could do this better, you know, maybe I could spend more time with doing this, that, or the other. I think, you know, when I'm on the mat, normally when I'm on the mat, it's just I'm concentrating on the job in hand. So who my next opponent is, I'm going to beat them. So, you know, positive thoughts. Not like in the earlier days where I was beat yourself up in your mind all the time.
Most definitely. I'm going to pass it back to Ronald, let him ask a couple questions, and then I'll come back, Nigel. Ronald?
Yes. So, Nigel, you know, we're coming up to London here very, very soon for the UAE JJF Grand Slam. And this will be what I think the third year they've had the Grand Slam in London with para categories. What do you see as we approach that? We're 7 weeks out, almost to the day. What do you see that we're going to be experiencing in London now that we've done it for a couple years? And what do you see for the future as para jiu-jitsu continues to grow? Care. I know it's kind of off the trail, but it was interesting to me. You said that when you first started, your prosthetic was built of metal and leather, and that was the style of old school prosthetics. But when you went to MMA, you put your prosthetic away. When I first started training to fight, I sponsorship to develop a fighting prosthetic. So we used the pylon, the sock, and the foot, but then we padded it up to make it safe for other fighters to fight against me. I was the first amputee to fight kickboxing here in America. I was the first amputee to fight mixed martial arts, and I used to have to sneak into my tournaments. But we made it safe so we could compete as equals. With your insurance, like here in America, I didn't have insurance when I lost my leg, so I was put out of the hospital in 7 days. I didn't have insurance to cover a prosthetic. My family, we all scraped together and bought my first prosthetic, you know, right off the show. How does that work there in the UK? You had a prosthetic, but you said it wasn't good for stand-up karate. Would you be able to have a second one? How does that go down with you guys?
Yeah, the oldest of legs, with a foam covering, and then a long liner. And then a bit further on along the line, a few years later, then another carbon fiber one, which would be made accessible, which they allowed me to use. But I allowed one. I'm not allowed any spares.
Right, and so that leads back to the original statement that you're talking about. It's freeing, it's liberating. You know, so I actually was using my fighting prosthetic last night for some takedown moves. We're training with each other, and I want my training partner to be able to throw me without getting hurt. So I use my fighting prosthetic, but, you know, then we went to the ground, and I had my leg on about 20 seconds into the round. I took it off and threw it to the side. Like, now that I've changed into para-jiu-jitsu exclusively, it is such a hindrance. You know, we adapt our bodies to the game and make it work the best for us. So as a recovery tool, I know you were born with this, and so you came into jiu-jitsu and you've seen the benefits of jiu-jitsu compared to other martial arts, to other ways of life. What could you suggest to our listening audience, to people who maybe down the road may meet somebody or become, you know, somebody with a physical limitation? What could you suggest to them about jiu-jitsu that makes it so important for you?
I think because jiu-jitsu is so diverse, and I think it's because it's not the traditional martial art, where you can just see, you can, there's so many variations in the moves, and they're so adaptable. There's not a set routine. There's nothing saying you have to do this position like this, this, or this. There are people whose opinions on how they should be done. So I think it makes it more fun. It's not so, let's say, traditional, and I don't know how to say boring. I'm sure the other martial arts are fun too, but I think for me,
Nigel, you walked away from the phone, brother.
Easy, I suppose, for other disabilities to do, can't see, or, you know, one leg, two legs, you know, or whatever. I think it's everybody should do it, especially in there's a rehabilitation thing, if nothing else.
Ronald, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Don, did you get that as well? Is that better for you than me?
Give me 1 second. I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. Give me 1 second.
Yep, no problem. Hey, Nigel, try to stay as close to your phone as possible. You still there, brother?
Lost Ronald. Give me 1 second, Nigel. I'll get Ronald back on.
Don, I'm here. Nigel, can you hear me?
That's the problem with the internet, my friend. You never know what.
I'm here, brother.
We're trying to call Ronald right now.
I'm here right now, brother. You got
Are
me.
Are you here, Ronald?
Don, you got me. You got me.
We're back. We're back. Hey, you know, we're
okay.
Making it happen from the pond. So, you know, I apologize to you, Nigel. You know, we're trying to make things happen. Give me 1 second, Nigel. Can you hear me still? All right, hold on 1 second. All right. Nigel, are you there? All right, you here, Nigel? Okay, you here, Ronald?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I apologize to my listeners for the technical difficulties. This is something new we tried, and obviously, we're going to have to make a better effort at it, do a better try run in the beginning. You know, when you look at everything that has accrued in your life, Nigel, and now you see that para-athletics is truly taking over, truly growing in size and in magnitude, what does it mean to you to be a part of that walk, be a part of that path, to see an aspect of your life now being perplexed worldwide?
It makes you really proud.
My friend, you truly have proven what type of heart, what type of manner that you are in your walk. You know, we've touched on what the sport means to you. We touched on what para-athletics and somewhat has, how it's evolved you and changed you. When you look at the family aspect of Nigel Davidson, you know, you have a loving family. How important is it for a practitioner, for an athlete, for a warrior, to have such a tremendous backing in your life?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I wouldn't do half of it wasn't for the backing of my wife and all my three kids. You know, they were behind me on it, and you know, I helped coach them in their competitions. They all train jiu-jitsu. My wife just recently started jiu-jitsu, so it's some kind of like a big family thing. Yeah, I couldn't do
it
without them.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, you look at, he's bringing up his family in it, and this, to me, jiu-jitsu is one big family. You know, I call you my brother, and I consider you part of my family, Don, and that's what we see, like, as we're going through these two federations, UAE, JJF, they're holding the Grand Slams and bringing jiu-jitsu to the front of the world. And now JJIF, who are petitioning for the Olympics and Paralympics for us, you know, we are meeting and growing as a community. El Cirle Silva calls this the fix for humanity. And I truly believe that. You know, there's not many, quote unquote, bad people in jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu makes us a better people. I know that I've grown as a man and a person. You know, it changes our lives for the better. So, you know, Nigel, what do you see coming up? We've got London coming up here real quick. Do you compete throughout the year? And also on that aspect, do you compete in the conventional able body tournament as well as para? Or do you stay strictly in the para?
For the UAE this year in London, I will probably just be competing para, probably. I don't know, maybe I do generally compete in able-bodied competitions. But I may well do the able-bodied UAE. I haven't put it out of the question at the moment. I shall see. We can see what happens. But no shock. Do you compete in them?
Yeah, you know, I typically compete in both. My physical limitation is not so severe that I can perform well. For me, my idea is that all para fighters should compete in both able and para. Regardless of your physical abilities and limitations, we're showing the world the gift that jiu-jitsu is. You know, I talk about jiu-jitsu saved my life, and that's true across the board. You see so many soldiers coming in with severe PTSD, and you know, We Defy is a foundation that shows explicitly how jiu-jitsu saves these soldiers' lives and brings them back into society with the family, the community that jiu-jitsu is. It's not just scoring points and dunking balls and throwing passes. It's a spiritual and a physical way of life. So let's touch on that then. Have you seen that? Have you grown as a person? You know, especially now that you have your children in it, and even better now that your wife is starting to come into jiu-jitsu, how do you think that affects us as humans, you know, as people, as a community? anybody.
This is Ronald. Hello? 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 Yeah, I don't know, bro. Like, I'm not hearing anything from you, so I'm hanging up.
Can you hear me now? Ronald. Hi, Nigel. I don't know what happened. Let me try to call him back, okay? Give me 1 second. We're in America, like you said. We're in the same country, and so I don't know what's going on here, but we'll get him back on here. I apologize as we're just getting ready to wrap up things, but we'll get Ronald on here real quick. It's actually an embarrassment to me. My show never runs like this.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 415-756-5953.
Well, Nigel, I'll go ahead and wrap things up here just a little bit. You know, first and foremost, I apologize. It's very disrespectful, the technical difficulties that my show has gone through today. I'm sure Ronald would have liked to come back on. I think his phone died, but we were able to get certain thoughts and certain premises from you. And like I said, my show is very professional. This is an actual embarrassment to me. I know you're okay with it, but I'm not. You know, you deserve better than that. Let me get things correlated a little bit better, and we'll get you back on in the future. But on a final thought before I go ahead and end this episode, when you look at all the aspects that you've ascertained on your walk, and you look at the aspects that have correlated through family, and now, like Ronald spoke earlier, with your children and your wife and everybody joining, you know, jiu-jitsu, how has it truly defined you in a whole aspect? How has it defined you away from the mat? How has it truly given back to you in life?
I like to think it's maybe a better person. It may be probably more thoughtful, more understanding, I like to think, but a stronger person too. I think that's probably really about it. I don't like to say anything more than that, actually.
You know, Nigel, once again, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
All I'd like to say is just thank you to really all the jiu-jitsu community, for getting behind all the para-athletes, be it myself, yourself, Ronald, Bob, or any other guys who trained with us. Always a big thanks to my wife and kids who have been behind me, and my good friend David, my coaches, Kev, Marisha, and all the guys that I train with. I could never do it without them. So it's and my sponsors, Grapplers Kid and Rossi Security, they've been fantastic. And yeah, just everyone who's there for me. So I feel very honored.
You know, Nigel, you truly are a warrior in your walk, and sincerely, I apologize for the technical difficulties today. When we have you back on, I'll make sure this doesn't happen again. You know, one thing I do want to leave on a comical note, you know, I have a friend named Linton Vassell who's in the MMA world, and he's from, you know, the southern part of the UK, and then I have another mate over there named Liam McGeary. And I got to admit, between all three of you, I can actually understand you better than I can the other two. You know, it's you, you're Well, what is it, the dialect that's over there? Is it, does it change from, you know, aspect to aspect? Because I get Linton Vassell on, and he's got more of that bully aspect, you know, in the way he speaks. And then you bring Liam McGarry on, and it's a totally different aspect. But with you, it's more defined, more articulate. Is it just the regional aspect of over there?
Yeah, I think all the different regions around the UK have got their own accents, like you guys have over in the States. So I think, yeah, I can't explain really why, but yeah, we all sound different. Maybe Oxford is the area I'm from, so I don't know. Maybe you can understand me better, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I can. You know, mate, what you've done in karate and in para-athletics is tremendous. I truly appreciate you coming on the show today. The next time I have you on, I promise there will be no technical difficulties. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck in all you do, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And you have a tremendous night, mate.
And you too. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. Thank you, mate. God bless.
Take care, thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the show today. It generally doesn't run this way. International calling wasn't working, so we tried to make things work. I feel I disrespected Nigel Davidson and Ronald Mann and all of the para world trying to correlate it and make it happen. I should have just rescheduled the show for another time, but wasn't able to do so at this point in time. So, much respect to the para world, all the para athletes, and everybody involved. I appreciate you tuning in. Have a good day, and God bless.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home, I was the fool with the beef.